Welcome to the Chronic Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Marlboro. And since the Saints have hired a defensive coordinator, it is time for a mega cast. That means we have Dave Cariello, our fearless leader, Andrew Juge from the Saints Station, and Kevin Held from Hakeem Drops the Ball and Canal Street Chronicles. And he's a veterinarian tonight as he's caring for his dog, as his dog is having health problems. So Kevin may be even more distracted than usual. Dave, I'm going to start with you. The Rob Ryan hire, I think a lot of fans are confusing trivia with statistics when they're like, Rob Ryan, he's never coached a defense that's made the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. That's not really anything to do with how the defense is going to be in the future or how it's been in the past. Your thoughts on Rob Ryan as coordinator of the Saints defense?
You know, they're mixed, I guess, but you know, he definitely doesn't have great numbers or great stats. You know, obviously that's because he wasn't really defensive coordinator for some very good teams. We're talking about the Browns and the Cowboys and the Raiders. So I think this will be a unique situation for him because he's going to have an offense that can actually take care of their own. But, you know, it's way too early. I mean, I like that he's a fiery kind of guy, and I like that
he's got a lovely mane of hair too.
I love, you know, I mean, I you know, just from an aesthetic standpoint, I actually really like him. And but you know, I thought Greg Noah was a good hire, and that turned out to be so great. So, I mean, if I say, oh yeah, I like the Rob Ryan hire, then that doesn't really mean anything. And if I say I don't like it, then that doesn't mean anything either. So. It's really not up to me, but you know, personally, I like it. I think that's what the Saints need. I think they need a fiery kind of guy. I think they need an outspoken person, and he seems like he brings a lot of energy. And obviously, he knows the 3-4. And you know, it'll be interesting to see who he brings with him from his past teams and his past experiences, because that always happens when it comes to new defensive coordinators. You know, it's hard to get any worse than they were. So
they can't get any worse. They could be as bad.
They could break their own record for yards given. But you know, I mean, the good thing for Rob Ryan is that he comes into a situation where it's practically a no lose situation. And again, like a lot of people have said, you know, the Saints don't need to go from worst defense in history to, you know, a top five defense. They just need to be middling. You know, if they can be middling and let the offense do what they do so well, if the offense can put up 35 points a game, you know, the defense only needs to give up 34 or less. So, I mean, they don't have to be a top 10 defense here. They just need to be 15 to 20, and it should be a fairly significant improvement as far as their record is concerned.
Well, I think Andrew just blacked out, Dave, at the thought of the Saints breaking their own record for most yards given up in a season and him having to watch all 16 games. So, Andrew, your thoughts on the hire. And for the record, Andrew was pro Steve Spagnuolo, and way long time ago, Andrew was also anti-Drew Brees signing and pro Matt Leinart signing. So, Andrew, like the rest of us, his record on predictions and thoughts is very spotty. Andrew, your thoughts on the hire, and then what's the biggest issue with the Saints with the hiring of Rob Ryan as far as personnel, you think, that they really need to work on ASAP?
Well, you mentioned my track record, Ralph, and, you know, I mean, obviously Drew Brees had a wrecked shoulder, and, you know, he could never throw again, and he came in that first year, and he threw seven straight incompletions and then retired. And Matt Leinart has since won four Super Bowls, and he's been twice MVP of the league. And so
I think you confuse banging cheerleaders with winning Super Bowls.
So based on that, I think it's pretty clear what my prognostication skills are, and you should all bow down to me. But anyway, back to Ryan. So with that being said, you know, clearly I'm a genius and I know what I'm talking about. But I don't – serious for a second, I don't like the hire. And the main reason I don't like it is he's just a little too much like Greg Williams. And by that I mean, you know, just a guy that is overly aggressive, thinks with his dick instead of his head. And he's just one of those guys that's, his little head. And he's overly emotional. And I just think, he kind of lets that get in the way of X's and O's and that sort of thing. And so, for better or for worse, I think Spags is more of an X's and O's guy. And a lot of the football players didn't respond well to it on defense. They said that, Spags was almost too cerebral and he had an answer for everything. He tried to defend everything instead of sometimes just letting the guys play football. I heard Scott Shanley say that there were checkdowns and there were audibles and there were defenses for everything. And a lot of times, Shanley's point was you can't defend everything. And so you got to kind of have to pick and choose. And then with the rest of the stuff, you just play football. And so we'll get that a lot more with Rex Ryan. And like Dave said, he knows the 3-4. So, there's almost no way he can be worse. I really don't think that. Now, they're going to have to do a good job of getting some guys in there personnel-wise to help him out. Because I think right now they're still missing that three technique plug nose tackle. I think Bunkley can, it remains to be seen if he's going to stick around or not, but they just need a wide body that they can throw in there to be on running downs, really that plug, nose tackle. But we'll have to see what happens. Like Dave said, if this defense is 24th or 23rd, that's probably good enough to get the Saints in the playoffs. And so, but I'll say this, if the Greg Williams hire has told us anything, if the Saints win the Super Bowl this coming season and lead the league in turnovers and it's the second time I said Matt Ryan today, it's really starting to bother me, but if Rob Ryan transforms his defense in year one and they win the Super Bowl, fire him immediately, right after the season's over. Thank you for your service. We've got the Lombardi Trophy. And send him on his way.
Yeah. Kevin, here's my question to you. With the hiring of Rob Ryan and Greg Williams before him, it seems to me Sean Payton really likes a crazy person running his defense. And me and you, we don't break down the football. Besides the Saints winning, the most important thing to us is making the jokes. So in that respect, isn't Rob Ryan the perfect hire for me and you?
Yeah. Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that the jokes will come to themselves, because let's face it, when Schachmeister was still on board, me and you were having a hoot with that, and then when he left, it kind of there were fewer stories for me to write about the team behind the scenes. Now with Rob Ryan, that potential has returned because he's essentially Jeremy Shockey at 50. And the potential's there, but the problem is Kiss and Susie Colbert have already staked out territory with the Rob Ryan parody. So I'm kind of just left. Left on the outside looking in. That's part of the reason I was putting all my eggs in the Todd Grantham basket, because I would have been first in line to make all the Downs and Abbey jokes. And now that Todd Grantham isn't going to be the DC, I'm left sitting here with my dick in my hand. Not literally, figuratively.
Yeah, but I think with Rob Ryan as the Saints defensive coordinator, I think you could do him as like running a strip club on Bourbon Street during the week, and just give a little credit to Kissing Susie Colbert and still run with it, and it could still be your own. I mean, the man. I saw a picture of him on Twitter where he was wearing a bathing suit with beer mugs on it. So the man was clearly meant to be on Bourbon Street. Dave, at this point with this defense as it's currently constructed, what is the one thing that if I could say to you, Rob Ryan can get this defense to do one thing very very, very well, and it's not creating turnovers, what would that one thing be?
I guess not tackling like a bunch of 8-year-olds. I don't know. turnovers definitely would have been my answer, because I think those are incredibly crucial. But they need to tackle better. I mean, they really do. It's funny because I watched the Baltimore Ravens in the Super Bowl, and they have this style of hitting where they seem to just throw their body at receivers or runners or offensive players, ball carriers. They don't dive at their feet, but they sort of go at them, with the middle of their body and their shoulders, and they don't wrap up either, but they throw their body at them. And the Saints, of course, they have their style where they seem to like submarine tackle and like this ankle bite and take a ball carrier's legs out from underneath them. So, and I think different teams have their own different style of tackling, I'm starting to notice. And so I hope to God that they change their style, because I just don't think the style that they currently use just works very well. I'd like to see them change that up. It's not wrapping up better than, at least not just throwing your body and then going to the ground. Because once you do that, you're taking yourself out of the play. I mean, you're done. You're on the ground. I think that needs to change. If you're going to change one thing overall, I think that would be it.
Andrew, you watch the tape. What's one thing that would really, really help this defense if they did it well, but obviously if they created 50 turnovers, that would help them a ton. But what's one thing that's fundamentally, like Dave said, tackling, run defense, pass defense, whatever, what's one thing they could do better that would really help them the most?
Well, I think right now the problem is the substitutions for the Saints were so predictable in the 4-3 because of down and distance. And Bunkley was in there whenever it was off. He's running down. And, Gallette and Martez Wilson would sometimes come in when it was obvious passing down. So the problem was everything in between. And teams were able to expose that by running play action on first and 10 with Bunkley in there. And they knew they weren't going to get much pressure up the middle. And on obvious passing downs, let's say 3rd and 5, well, shit, let's run a draw play right at Gallette, because we know he's in there and we know he can't stop the run. So, Jamal Charles run, for example, the big one against the Chiefs, was run right at Martez Wilson, and he got absolutely swallowed on that play. So the one advantage of the 3-4 is that you're going to be able to keep guys like that on the field at all times. So guys like Gallette, guys like Martez Wilson, if they end up starting at the outside in a 3-4, as the outside linebackers, they're going to be in on first down and second down. And so if teams run play action passes, they're going to be able to get to the quarterback. So I think that plays well. But the answer to your question, basically what I'm getting at is I want them to rush the passer better. I want them to get in the quarterback's face. I want them getting more sacks. And because ultimately, I'm basically saying turnovers when I say that, whether it's a sack strip, whether it's disrupting the quarterback, putting some hits on him, which rattles his cage a little bit, maybe makes him throw a pick on the following play because the ball comes out too quickly or not quickly enough. And so, it's all about rattling the quarterback, making him gun-shy, and quarterbacks were way too comfortable this year. So I want more hits on the quarterback, and I just want more sacks. And I do think the 3-4 is a good call for that, because I remember when Spags was hired and they said, okay, we're going to run a 4-3, but we're going to put more emphasis on the front four getting pressure. And I remember thinking, well, shit, I hope Will Smith gets back to circa 2009, because, what he's been doing the past couple of years has really been working out for the Saints. And if he's not doing well, we know Cam Jordan is not a great pass rusher. In the interior, I mean, they completely flopped in terms of getting pressure. So that really killed the Saints. When they stopped blitzing, they stopped getting pressure on the quarterback. In this system, in a 3-4, I think it will absolutely help, because it will keep guys like Gallette and Wilson, who in my opinion are their best edge rushers right now, and that will potentially keep them on the field from first through third down. But that's what I want to see, and I think it's pointing in the right direction based on the scheme change. Getting to the quarterback is key.
Kevin, if I told you, look, there's one guy in the Saints defense that you can just you get to pick and he's gone and you just don't want to see him anymore. Not necessarily that he was a horrible player with the Saints, but you're just tired of seeing him. Pick one player in the defense that you're like, he's got to go. I just don't want to see him anymore on Sunday. Who would that one player be?
Malcolm Jenkins.
Oh, I'm surprised.
I know. I actually been thinking about this hours ago because I'm driving home and I'm, you know, like stuck in traffic or whatever. And so something just occurred to me. I was like, you know what? Malcolm Jenkins, it's not that he's terrible and it's not that he's bad. It's just that he just hasn't found his fit. You know, he was drafted as a tweener, which is, I guess, code for can't play a certain position full-time. So, you know, he's now gotten to be a starter, and he's had a couple of bright spots, but he hasn't gotten over the hump. So I think maybe, and this is where I sound like, I guess, your typical sports radio caller, what if we try and trade him? So you send him to a team that has a lot of picks or, you know, needs secondary help, and you just see what you can get. You see if you can get a pick from somebody for him. I mean, I don't know. I like that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe you could get a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts and maybe a seventh round pick. We'll have to see. Dave, I know the draft is far away, and I'm not asking you to give me a specific player. I want you to try to guess, because you always have a pulse on where the feel of the fans is and where the anger is going to be. What could the Saints do with the 15th pick that would melt Canal Street Chronicles down on draft night? And not in a good way.
A running back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that would be crazy if they took a running back. That's probably the least position of need, you know. Or if they took a wide receiver.
Trade it up,
remember,
to get a running back.
Yeah, right. You know, you remember in, what was it, 2008, whenever they took Meacham in the first round, everybody was kind of like, we really don't need a wide receiver, but they sort of went with the best player available theory. I don't know. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they went and picked some offensive lineman or, you know, an offensive tackle if there was somebody that was, like, really good left on the board that they just could not pass up because he was just such a supreme talent at tackle. Because, I mean, they could sort of use that. And at the same time, I think that Canal Street Chronicles would probably be like, no, we didn't go defense. I can't believe it. So, you know, a realistic option would be, I think, maybe offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Would you guys hate it if they picked a tackle though? I mean, I'd be okay.
Yeah, if Bushrod leaves, it'd be okay. The one thing that I think would drive people a little bit crazy if they picked a tackle, Andrew, is if they're sitting there at 15 and they pick the tackle and there's a consensus, even if it's right or if it's wrong, that there's a consensus that they could have traded down and still got the tackle later. I think that would make people even more angry about not picking defense because they don't have the second round pick. Does that make sense? If the talking heads are like, oh man, they could have got him at 25, then I think that could flip people out. But I mean, the reason why I asked Dave is I just feel like when you pick at 15, you know, we're all say defense, but the Saints have shown that they're really flexible and they're not going to be locked into having to pick defense. And I think, Kevin, I know it's a long time ago, so people might forget it, but I think the Jonathan Sullivan pick, where they traded up to get him and they needed a defensive tackle and they sort of went all in and they sort of ignored other things, I think that sort of affects Mickey Loomis's philosophy. And I think he really makes a concerted effort not to get locked in on a position or that sort of thing because it can burn.
They traded up.
Don't
trade it up for that.
Jonathan Sullivan too loud. His, Kevin's dog's going to throw up again if you say Jonathan Sullivan too loud.
They traded up again. They traded up for that. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, they did. They
Good
traded,
God.
They traded
two first-round picks.
They traded the two first-round picks with Arizona to move up to number six, and they flipped second-round picks with Arizona, and they ended up with Stinch. They ended up with Sullivan, and then they picked Stinchcomb in the second round with like the second pick or the third pick in the second round. So yeah, it was a disaster all around, Kevin.
Oh, fantastic. Well, maybe he's not going to be locked into a position, but still, I mean, you got to think, though, that if the best player available at 15 is an offensive player, and then they have a chance to get a guy that they believe can start at defensive tackle or defensive end or second down, you know, if they can get a starter on defense, but if their quote unquote best player available is offense, I still think they'd go defense. Now maybe it might not be defensive tackle, because I can't remember where I saw the story, but somebody reported that Kiper was saying how apparently deep the defensive tackle position is, and how teams could probably get a quality guy in the third or fourth round even. So there's still hope for the Saints that if they don't take a DT in the first round, that a quality one will be available when it gets back to them.
Yeah, I mean...
Nose tackle. Nose.
I wonder if Benny Logan from LSU could play the nose. Because he's like... Right now, he's like late second, early third. So he'd be an interesting guy. And, you know, with the whole thing of, you know, free agencies coming and that sort of thing, but to sort of end this podcast, guys, the question that I ask you is, look, there's no more Super Bowl, and we're kind of in the holding holding pattern where free agency is going to start. I think it starts March 9th. But you got 8 months without football. So how do you fill the time when you don't have any football? What are you doing on your weekends? And Dave, I'll start with you, because there's no more Mardi Gras for you, because you're in New Orleans. So how do you fill the time of no football?
I think Andrew will probably have the same answer as me, but I mean, I would just spend my time with my family and my son. I know that's like cheesy, but I mean, really and truly, that's what I look forward to most, actually, I think, in the off season now. I know my wife certainly looks forward to that part the most, not having this all day long distraction every Sunday. But, on Canal Street Chronicles, we'll be doing it as usual, community mock draft, and when free agency strikes, you know, we'll have everything right there. I kind of like the off-season, to be honest with you. I mean, there are some people, you know, you can tell, even on Canal Street Chronicles, you can tell there are some people that you don't see through the season, and then once the season's over, that's when they come to life, and you might see them commenting and that kind of stuff, so... You know, there are certain people out there, and I'm kind of one of them. The off season is just as interesting as the regular season. I mean, this is where the team is built, and like, you know, the team that you see in 2013 on the field. I mean, all of that is a result of what happens during these quote unquote boring months. So, I kind of like the off season.
Kevin, what do you do to fill your time in the off season when you're not playing vet to your dog?
Well, first of all, let me clear something up. This is not a Marley and me situation. The dog just threw up. It just ate something probably that didn't agree with him. So he'll be
like
fine. This is not a Marley and me scenario we're looking at here. Otherwise, I'd be sobbing like a Just Seen Brian song. So what do I do? Well, I mean, so far I've had the Sports Illustrated cover to stare at endlessly. I mean, Kate Upton has kept me warm, and my thoughts quite impure, basically since the Super Bowl ended. So I'm going to try and ride this train as long as humanly possible, just focusing on her. Anything after that is, you know, it's all up in the air. I mean, I've got my spring hurling league that's the one thing I can look forward to in the weekend. So that's kind of how I'm at this weird phase in my life where I don't have kids yet, so I'm not constantly being pulled in a bunch of different directions. So I kind of have to find that one big thing to, like, really focus my life on. And it can't be work, because if it's work, then I just need to go hang myself right now. So you try and find that thing outside of work that you enjoy. And in the fall, you know, from September to February, it's football, particularly the Saints. But then after that, I've got my spring hurling league, so that keeps me interested from, say, March until late June, or actually from March until July. And then after that, I'm kind of in a brief no man's land before the preseason starts. But, you know, those are those weeks that I can sort of just skate by.
Yeah. I've been hunting down miscellaneous food trucks in Houston on the weekend with the wife. We went to found the waffle bus, and I had chicken and waffle sandwich. So that's what my life is when there's no football. Andrew, what does your life consist of?
Well, I gave up sweets and alcohol for Lent. So
what are you,
not only do I have no alcohol, but I've basically slit both of my wrists at the same time while football ended. So I still, yeah, so basically, as if my life could be any more miserable, I went ahead and made it worse. But no, yeah, like Dave, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, you know, football for me, and I know for Dave too, it really is an all-day thing, because it's not just, it doesn't just start at kickoff. You know, obviously you're checking your fantasy football lineup, I don't go to all the games, you know, I fly in for about three a year, but even the ones at home, you know, I'm checking my fantasy lineup, you know, reading up on the Saints. I might do a little blogging. As soon as the game's over, I'm immediately blogging about the game, and then I'm reviewing tape and watching the game again to start doing the grading process. It really is kind of an all-day thing. So it's actually kind of nice to get away a little bit and take a break from it. And as you know, I play a lot of tennis, and so that opens up a window for me to play a little bit. But, you know, lastly, I'm not in warm weather like you guys. I'm in Virginia, and it's cold as balls up here. And so it kind of sucks. I mean, we're on the weekends a lot of time, you just don't really want to go outside. It's just too cold, and it's not that fun. And so it's a rough period, because my kid, you know, he's going on three. He'll be close to three soon. And he's really starting to get into sports, like playing them. And so you know, he's got that little basketball goal, and he'll dunk on it, and he'll shoot threes in our living room. And he likes to play tennis, and now he's starting to hit the ball hard enough that he'll probably break a window here pretty soon. And he wants to play tackle football with me in the living room, and, you know, he tries to take me to the ground. So basically it's getting to the point where I just need the weather to get nicer so that we can start doing these activities outside and not be doing them in our living room, because, you know, grandma's hand-me-down vase is going to get shattered here any second.
What's the odds on that, by the way, the vase getting shattered before it turns warm?
5-2.
All right, final question. And Kevin, I'll start with you. If I granted you a wish and I said, Kevin, you can create one NFL scandal this offseason, what scandal do you create?
This is a fucking layup and a half, brother. The hooker scandal bites Roger Goodell in the ass.
Dave,
hang on a second, man. I need to.
You need some room.
I need to explain a little bit more.
Okay.
Several months ago, there was this story about a madam in New York City, and let me tell you. You know it's fucking special and a big deal when they call the person running it a madam. Like, if it's just, you know, some broad from Chalmette or some broad from Fredericksburg or some broad from Round Rock, I'm trying to hit all of the areas in our demos, or in my case, you know, some broad from fucking Alton, Illinois, they don't call her a madam. It's just, it's a lady who was running a brothel or a whorehouse. That's too classy. But when they call them a madam, these are ladies that wear, you know, pantsuits or, like, you know, really nice outfits. They actually brush their hair several times a day. They got nice jewelry. It's not gold-plated. It's just gold, shit like that. So they got the high clientele. Anyway, she leaks that some of the clientele on her client list have NFL ties and affiliations. Suddenly, everybody's, like, sitting there waiting for this list to come out, and then nothing came of it. Nothing happened. Like, you never heard about this fucking thing again. So I'm going to sit back for the rest of this summer, and when I'm not looking at Kate Upton and her fantastic cleavage...
It is fantastic.
You're goddamn... I'm telling you, that's probably the greatest cleavage ever. Ever. And I know there's people that are saying, well, Marilyn Monroe is in... You know, and Betty Page, and no. Greatest cleavage ever. You look at the cover of that 2013 swimsuit issue, and you tell me that's not the greatest cleavage ever, you and me are going to have words. Anyway, I'm going to sit back, and when I'm not looking at that and thinking wonderful thoughts, I'm going to be hoping and praying that Roger Goodell is going to somehow be tied to this brothel nonsense. It doesn't have to be David Vitter embarrassing. It just has to be Roger Goodell went to a whorehouse.
I would donate a month's salary to a homeless shelter if it was David Vitter. Fantastic.
I tell you what, it doesn't have to be David Vitter. It could be something like, I mean, it doesn't have to be that bad. It could be something like shrimping or, well, I'll just leave it at shrimping. But I'd be more than happy with that.
Dave, do you have a off-season scandal scenario / fantasy for the NFL that you could share with us?
Well, Kevin was very elaborate there. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
I think mine's a little bit more simple. I definitely like Kevin. I would love to see Goodell involved in something scandalous, and I don't know why he's being so, you know. So wussy. Like, let's have something crazy. Like, if Goodell's going to be involved, let's make him involved. Like, you know, he's running a whorehouse. Let's make that the scandal. mine would be that the exact same thing that happened to the Saints, Bountygate, all that, that happens to the Falcons this year. Like, the whole thing. like, Mike Smith is, like, suspended for a year. Dimitrov is suspended for, like, 8 games. And you know, their whole, cause I mean, you know, they're our biggest competition. So like, you know, that would totally screw them up and wipe them out. You know, we'll just laugh along. You know, the whole thing, like starting on like March 1st, you know, Goodell drops some bomb and he's like, it's like Bountygate 2, you know, Revenge of the Bountygate. But it's like the Falcons. Like that would be my scandal.
Andrew, do you have a fantasy scandal scenario?
My fantasy scandal is that Tim Tebow gets traded in the offseason. He ends up on a different team. The team that he ends up on is really of no consequence. We'll just say one of the other 31 teams. Let's say one of the 30 teams, not the Saints and not the Jets. So he ends up on a team. That team drafts Manti Te'o in some order of their picks, you know, whether it's second, third round. And so Tebow and Te'o start on a football team together, and they develop a relationship. And Tim Tebow sends dick pics or sexts Manti Te'o, and that sext gets leaked to the press, and, you know, Tim Tebow's junk ends up on Deadspin, and it becomes the first relationship that Manti Te'o ever has that is actually real and true. And Tim Tebow then makes a ceremonious return to New York to wed his new the new love of his life.
That is a fantastic off-season scandal. I am positive if that would occur, Twitter would cease to be, and they wouldn't be able to put it. It would be like Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall. They wouldn't be able to put it back together.
It'd be like Twitter apocalypse or something.
It would be the Twitter apocalypse. I can't think of another scandal that would break Twitter, because you could, any other scandal would maybe have a tinge of sadness or a little bit of seriousness, but that scandal would just be all fun all the time. And Twitter.
Oh, and I almost forgot. Brett Favre is the master of ceremonies, and he's the person that wed Teo and Tebow, and approves of Tebow's leaked dick pic.
Oh my, Kevin! I think Andrew, his scenario outdid yours. But to be fair, he did have 10 minutes to think of his while everyone else was giving answers.
That's okay. That's okay. Even I'm impressed that the tennis guy went all out on the Tebow Manti Te'o coupling. I think it's ballsy.
You know, and I think the best team for it would be the Colts, because then Tony Dungy would have to comment, and he kind of hates the gays. So I think if it happened on the Colts, Andrew, that would make it that would even make it better. And I'm not even gonna venture my fantasy scenario, because when I thought of the question, I didn't really have one, and I want to end on yours since it's so fantastic. So on that note, thanks for joining us, everybody. For Dave Cariello, our fearless leader, for Andrew Juge of the Saints Nation, for Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Canal Street Chronicles, I'm Ralph Marlboro. Thanks for joining us. Be safe. Until next week, so long.